This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. There was a lot of confusion last week about the implementation of the 1981 Film Act, specifically the requirement for a filming license under Section 22. So, to recap the developments of the past week, on Monday, the National Film Development Corporation, better known as FINAS, said that Al Jazeera did not have a license to film and broadcast its documentary, Locked Up in Malaysia's Lockdown. This came as a surprise because news media had not been subjected to the Film Act in the past. Then on Thursday, the Minister of Communications and Multimedia, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, said in Parliament that all filming activities required a license from FINAS. This raised more questions about whether the law then applied to social media users and for news coverage purposes, where it was previously never required. And of course, there were a lot of concerns about how this would impact freedom of expression in the country. However, on Friday, both the Communications Ministry and FINAS issued statements to clarify that the public can upload videos on social media platforms without fear of prosecution, and news organizations did not require a license to film for news coverage purposes. Datuk Saifuddin also said that the government had no intention of using the Film Act to restrict media freedoms or the public's freedom of expression, and that the government would look to update the Film Act to take into account modern-day considerations. While these clarifications do clear up some of the confusion, it still leaves open the question of whether and how film licensing regulations impact news media organizations. And to better understand the implications and complications that arise from licensing regulations in filmmaking, I speak to Thomas Barker, Associate Professor of Film and Television at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Hi, Thomas. It's fairly regular for governments to require some form of permit or clearance for filming activities. So why then is the Al Jazeera case and the implication that its documentary needs a license so worrying?
Well, thanks for the question. It appears to me that in this case, you're right. There is a requirement in Malaysia through FINAS. If you want to make a documentary or a feature film, to both be registered as a company with FINAS and then get a shooting permit to make your documentary or your film. And I assume in Al Jazeera's case, as a news organization, they had a different license as a foreign news organization operating in Malaysia. And it seems, I guess, unusual in this case that that the news organization would typically come under that set of news laws, which I'm not so familiar with. But it does feel like it has been stretched to make it seem like the news report was now classified as a documentary, so it could be kind of prosecuted under the FINAS regulations.
So really the issue of concern is about categorizing what is supposed to be a news report as a documentary.
Yeah, it would seem so. But the problem is, of course, is that the distinction between documentary and news report is already quite blurred. You can argue that news reports and documentary are, in fact, very, very similar in many ways as a form of factual audiovisual production and reporting. And in fact, you know, if we go back into the origins of documentary and news reporting, they have a kind of a shared history back in Europe and Canada and other places where there was a lot of overlap between news reporting, reportage, and what became known as documentary. And so we end up with this distinction now between the FINAS jurisdiction, which is documentary, and then this other jurisdiction, which is press or news. It does seem that there is still some confusion or overlap between those two categories. In the Al Jazeera case, that this is a report done by a news organization to be broadcast as news. It's investigative reporting, which has a really important place in democracies to investigate wrongdoing or malpractice or other forms of abuse and whatever in a society. And so reporting and investigative reporting is a really important. And I think to go after a news organization this way does seem quite vindictive. But at the same time, you can also make a documentary So, for example, if you go watch the documentaries at Freedom Film Festival, for example, which is held every year, many of them are from Malaysia. They also investigate social problems, labor abuse, or you know, other problems that people face in their lives. So you can already see that there is that the two domains, the press, Al Jazeera, and documentary and documentary filmmakers do overlap often in the subject matter that they will deal with, and deal with it in a similar way, right? Interviews, factual reporting, investigation, filming real people in real life situations, those kinds of things.
Okay, so there is a gray area between what should be defined as news documentary versus a feature film documentary. And I'm sure we'll see arguments in this debate continue to develop, especially as discussions on how to amend the Film Act take place. And in looking at that, I mean, amending the existing licensing laws for filmmaking, what do you think should be considered? How does Malaysian law stack up against other countries, for example?
From the conversations I've been having the last day or so, it seems in Malaysia that, as we mentioned, you mentioned at the outset, some form of licensing is quite common, both in Southeast Asia and also in other countries, Australia, wherever. Because, you know, like any business, a license is often required to register for tax purposes, so on and so forth. So in Malaysia, once you get this FINAS license, besides your company therefore being acknowledged as a legitimate concern that is involved in film or TV production, that license doesn't seem to confer much else to the company or to the business. And then you need a second permit. Once you want to make something, you need a shooting permit to then make something. You know, in other countries, you know, the US, for example, if you want to shoot on a street, you need a permit from the police or the city council or whatever to get permission to shoot. And that's fine because you have to block streets off, you need to alert the police, there may be damage to public property that you need to account for, and so on and so forth. In this case here in Malaysia, it's unclear what that benefit is. And I think it's something that could be improved or looked into. Does it stop unscrupulous operators from, you know, continuing to operate? Does it protect crews if they don't get paid? If there's an injury on set, does it guarantee insurance, you know, is in place and paid out to someone? I think if that was the case, the licensing would make more sense. Of course, the second thing is that license that you get from FINAS to have a business and then to shoot is then required to submit your film or TV or advertisement to the LPF, the censorship board. And without that piece of paper, you cannot submit your film to the LPF. And the LPF is a whole other kind of bureaucratic procedure. So it does seem that this licensing, whilst is not uncommon, probably needs to be reformed in some way to better support the film industry, especially since FINAS's mission is to promote and develop the Malaysian film industry. So that would be, I think, a better way of moving through this particular episode at the moment.
Thanks for sharing your views, Thomas. That was Thomas Barker, Associate Professor of Film and Television at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. He wrote an opinion piece in the Malay Mail on this issue with the headline "Censorship by Another Name." You can look that up. We'll have more perspectives coming out of this issue, including viewpoints from the Foreign Correspondents Club of Malaysia, right after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just tuned in, this is Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana, and today I'm exploring different perspectives arising from the Al Jazeera documentary controversy. Earlier in the show, we discussed the gray area between what constitutes a documentary under the Film Act and what counts as a news report that would be governed by other laws and regulations. Various media organizations and watchdog groups have expressed concern over the implications that news video productions would be subject to FINAS licensing. Now, joining me on the line to discuss this is Shannon Teo, the Vice President of the Foreign Correspondents Club of Malaysia, or FCCM, and the Malaysia Bureau Chief for the Singapore Straits Times. Thanks for speaking with me, Shannon. The FCCM issued quite a strong statement questioning the government's announcement that Al Jazeera needed a license for its documentary. Why is this a point of concern for you?
Yeah, I'd just like to say for the FCCM, I don't know if we came out strongly. We're not really condemning anything. I think we want to be clear here. many reporters, many journalists, both local and foreign, have been investigated by authorities before. As far as the FCCM is concerned, we respect the laws of the land, and the authorities have discretion to investigate any alleged breaches. But what we were very alarmed at, and I think the precise word is alarmed, is this sudden need to have FINAS licensing, right, for filming a news video production. Now, that's never been the case before. This is completely new. All of us have been operating for decades here, filming news productions without there having been any need for any interaction with FINAS at all. So this was a surprising turn of events. This is completely new. And we have always operated, all journalists, I think both local and foreign, have operated under the understanding that we are bound by laws such as the Printing Presses and Publications Act, the Broadcast Act before, and now it's the Communications and Multimedia Act. And we have to abide by these laws to operate here. We've never known that we had to abide also by the FINAS Act. So that's what we found alarming.
How do you see this affecting the work of news media moving forward?
Well, no one is happy. I mean, as I mentioned before, no one wants to have more regulations, more paperwork to do. And let's not forget, these licenses, they're also a way for FINAS to fund itself, right? They collect fees from these licenses. So is it going to be an additional cost for us at a time where most media is facing financial obstacles, lower revenues, cost-cutting, we are reducing salaries, we are reducing headcounts. Something like this, many would take it as an existential threat to their own jobs. So I think generally the attitude is that we've never had to do this before, why do we have to do it now? And it's not like if we did anything wrong, we didn't know where to find us, right? We're accredited. We have all our details in the information department. You know our places of work. You know our identification numbers. You know our phone numbers, everything. You can find us. I've never really heard of any journalist here if called in for investigations or to give a comment or a witness statement on any particular ongoing investigation, refusing to do so. I think we've, by and large, always cooperated with the authorities. So what would this licensing be for? What would be its purpose? Again, we can only guess. Mm. And so that's why we would like, if they decide to go ahead with this, and we, I think our original stance is that I don't think we need this at all. But if you are going to go ahead, and of course we respect that the government may have its own reasons to do it, then can we please come to the table and see how it can be done in the best interest of everyone involved. If the government believes that they are protecting the Malaysian interest, the public interest by having this licensing, then all right. But, you know, can we do it in a way where the industry, those of us who are doing news productions, whether you're local or foreign, you're going to be impacted by this in such a way where it has the least amount of negative repercussions on our work.
And I think we all hope the government does consult closely with media stakeholders and take these concerns into account as they embark on amending the Film Act. And pivoting slightly to the issue of foreign press in Malaysia and just understanding how foreign journalists operate, can you talk me through the kinds of rules that foreign journalists are bound by when they are in Malaysia? What kind of permissions or permits do they need in order to report?
So, of course, in recent years and decades, because of cost-cutting and things like that, you'll find that actually 80% maybe or even more of foreign correspondents are actually Malaysians. So it's cheaper to hire Malaysians and to bring in expats to come and work here. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One is salary-wise, but the other is you don't have to pay for housing, so on and so forth, and all that rigmarole. Now, first of all, is if you want to work as a journalist in Malaysia for anyone, usually you will have to go through accreditation with the information department, right? So that work applies for both local and foreign journalists. Now, the difference is that if you're working for the foreign press, your renewal is annually. So it is more bureaucracy involved. But on top of that, if you are a foreign press journalist from overseas, as in you had to come here and work, then you have to go through the normal work permit process with immigration. So that is a different process altogether. So what can happen is that you have to go and get your work permit, and then you have to get accreditation from the government separately. And I'm made to understand that for some foreign journalists, when they come here, the process of actually getting accredited and all that is not so straightforward. It's not in single agency. It can get quite complicated. Sometimes they will ask Wisma Putra to do a background check on you, like, I don't know, to make sure you're not a spy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always less straightforward. So other than that, we work by the same rules, the same kind of ethical and regulatory framework. I say that, however, on the flip side, it doesn't mean that the newsmakers work by the same rules for both local and foreign media. There are both private and public organizations which have some kind of local media-only policy. And mm-hmm. one of them is the National Police. We are not allowing to most Bukit Aman press conferences. And they say that this is for some of the press conferences are only for local news. You know, it's not for foreign interests.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just say, well, we don't want it to be spun the wrong way or things like that. That used to happen even with the Prime Minister's office. I won't mention necessarily which prime minister, but so some government agencies, some law enforcement agencies, they do kind of treat foreign media as a different bucket.
I see.
So we have to play by different rules. We're hamstrung by these different rules, but you know, that's the job.
I feel like because this whole controversy stems from a foreign media organization, it also comes under greater scrutiny. How do you think Malaysians perceive foreign media?
Well, I think you have to ask which Malaysian. It's not monolithic, I think. You have to go along a line of the more nationalistic Malaysians tend to perceive foreign media as, you know, having some sort of agenda. You know, they are trying to undermine Malaysia and make Malaysia look bad and things like that. There might be something to it, maybe, especially in the past. But right now, with most of the reporting staff being Malaysian, I don't know. I'm a proud blue IC carrying Malaysian working for a Singaporean newspaper myself. Just from my personal perspective, people tend to say, oh, you know, Singapore, they always look down Malaysia and stuff like that. But I believe I'm pretty fair in my coverage. And I'd say that I'm not trying to run down Malaysia or anything like that. That you have a more, you know, people talk about things like Bangsa Bubble or Urban Readers and things like that. They tend to have more trust in foreign media versus local media. This is on the flip side, right? They seem to have grown up on decades of maybe quite strong state control of local media, and seem to believe that foreign media paints a fairer picture of the situation in the country. So you get a different kind of perspective on what the foreign media has to offer. I'd say with regards to government, you have some segments of government who are pretty sensitive to what the foreign press write, who do pay attention to try and ensure that there is a fair and balanced reporting. But you also get a segment who just believe that the foreign media is just out to make us look bad, you know, and keep them at arm's length. So one of the things, if we come back to accreditation, is that foreign media, our media tags are red in color, bright red in color, whereas local media is either blue or green if you're a state media. So if you're a local politician and you see us coming, you can spot us a mile away. That guy's got a red tag. He's you know, he's going to ask me some critical questions that I'm not going to want to answer. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on which Malaysian you're talking about. And I think they're perceived very differently from different segments.
Thanks for your thoughts, Shannon. That was Shannon Teo, Vice President of the FCCM. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Coming up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin, followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.